Welcome to Books and Beyond with your hosts, Karen and Louisa. Join us for half an hour of information, entertainment, reading recommendations, and beyond. Brought to you by Auckland Libraries.
I know this girl, and she works in...
Kia ora, everyone. Welcome. Yeah. Kia ora, Louisa.
Kia ora, Karen.
So we're a little ways into January now, and Louisa and I thought we might look at New Year's resolutions, a time-honored tradition. How are you going with yours, Louisa?
Well, actually... I do want to look forward into 2019, but I'm going to start by looking back because I was inspired by a quote from our library colleagues, Andrea and Fiona, actually, which was on the front page of the Auckland Libraries Libby app for a while. And it's such a cool quote, and it really inspired me to make sure I finish off what I started in 2018. And it says, "My goal for 2019 is to accomplish the goals of 2018, which I should have done in 2017, because I promised them in 2016 and I planned them in 2015. Isn't that cool?
Yeah, well, it's very appropriate for me because as any long-term listeners, aficionados of our program will know, I've been meaning to read Vanity Fair for a number of years. And in fact, it was my choice for read the book that's been on your to-be-read list forever, which wasn't a New Year's resolution, but a reading challenge, but it could have been. And I'm a third of the way into Vanity Fair. I'm into Vanity Fair. And I'm loving it. So it was a bit of a shock. So we're talking, 150-year-old book, and I had a copy already in my house for years. And I opened it up. Okay, here we are on holiday. It's a great holiday read. I opened it up. Oh, my God. It's one of these books, which is a very old copy that I had, with the tiny font and the tiny skinny little margins. It was a lot denser, and denser also, if you're used to reading contemporary writing, you have to get into a more orchestrated way of writing than in more leisurely times. I do picture it as an orchestra, so I'm seeing, woodwinds come in here, and at this point we'd like to have a little percussion, and then now all the instruments together. So, and long chapters.
Yeah.
But actually, it took like 10, 20 pages, or maybe a chapter. And then suddenly I was into it, and especially Becky Sharp. So this was the unlikable woman that I had been mentioning. I was so interested, the original unlikable woman. And she is incredible. So she's really cynical, hates everyone, but you can see why, because they're all undeservedly rich. She's poor, and they're very lazy. They live in Vanity Fair, which was the name at the time, came from a social commentary of the time on the life of these undeserving rich. And what I noticed was so interesting is as a modern woman, I look back at her and I see how she's suppressing all of her rage into this very passive-aggressive kind of way of living and always acting like a saint, whereas actually inside she's scheming to, squash these people beneath her heel. So it's very interesting compared to other books that I'm getting right now about women's anger. So one I can really recommend is this Rebecca Traister book that a lot of people are talking about, Good and Mad. Do you know about this book, The Revolutionary Power of Woman's Anger? And then I've got another one, Rage Becomes Her, by Soraya Chidiya. So another
yes,
one.
We're allowed to just let it all out.
That's
days,
right.
Aren't we?
Exactly
we don't have to be
right.
This restrained.
That's exactly right. And what they say about, and what the books, the modern take on it is, take your anger and channel it into a political fuel, into political fuel, not apolitical fuel, all political fuel. And what Becky Sharp, poor thing, does is she can only channel it into a personal fuel of revenge against people, so it doesn't quite, take her to the same place. But anyway, I'm really looking forward to seeing what's going to happen to Becky. And so that's my finish what you start. And did you had a finish what you start?
Well, yeah. So going back to 2018, and during the year, I don't know if you recall, I was trying to read more classics. And so I picked up Zorba the Greek in the library. And again, the same experience, reading something from a different era, not quite 150 years. I think Zorba the Greek is set in the 1920s, but written in the 1950s. But same thing, because it's set on Crete, which was the, I think, the appeal, having picked olives on Crete in my traveling days. It's that slower pace. And so it's just perfect for reading over the over summer, you know, when you're on holiday and, well, we were camping. And because it does take a while to get used to that slower pace. And, you know, there were scenes described by the narrator where it really did take me back to, I did feel like I was back on Crete, you know, especially, you know, being summer and warmer weather. So it's a nice read so far. I do feel there's something going to happen to poor old Zorba somewhere further down the track. But, yeah, that's what I'm intending to do, finish Zorba the Greek and then move into 2019's challenges.
Yeah, well, you know, it's funny that you said that something might be happening to Zorba, because actually where you were telling about the loveliness of reading, the experience of going back to your summer days, picking olives in Crete, I remember, I loved Zorba the Greek, but I remember crying my heart out at the end.
Oh, no!
Just tossing the book aside and throwing myself on the bed and sobbing.
Oh,
so
you have
thank you
to,
for that warning.
I will have the box of tissues at my ready.
Yeah, but, you know, that's, for me, that's all part of a good read, so.
Exactly.
Yeah. So, another resolution that, comes up a lot. So I'm not actually big on New Year's resolutions, but I'm putting myself forward on resolutions that I've heard other people making. And one of them, of course, is always be a better person. And, I've got, so I do have a book that I read, which is actually titled like a New Year's resolution, which is this Maria Semple book, Today Will Be Different. And just to show you why perhaps I'm not a real resolution, New Year's resolution type person, is that when I thought about doing this book for New Year's resolutions, I remembered it as being called Tomorrow Will Be Different. And then I went to look it up and bring it in. And
why
I thought,
isn't it,
oh,
coming
God,
up on the catalog?
It's actually Today Will Be Different. So this is a book from 2 years ago. I actually read it 2 years ago. I often don't read brand new books. But this one I did. And it was really, you know, I really, really enjoyed it. And interestingly, I can't remember when I went to get it off the shelf to bring it in today. I was thinking, oh, I can't really remember. Oh, is that what happened? Oh, who's that? Is that her husband? But it's the feeling of the book. And I always think this is always true. It's not really the plot. It's how the book makes you feel. And this is one of those great reads. This is, the woman who wrote it is a comic writer. She writes for television. She writes for Ellen. And it's just one of those books where everything is worse for her than it is for you, which always makes it a really feel good read.
Makes us feel good. Yeah. Our life's not so bad.
It's worse for her, and she's telling you about it in a funny way. So she talks about that feeling of, I remember this, waking up, that horrible feeling of when you're waking up just to start getting the day over with, just trying to get to bedtime. And then there's this direct quote that I remember, I looked it up because I loved this one. If I'm forced to be honest, this is, it's a first-person narration. So here's an account of how I left the world last week. Worse, worse, better, worse, same, worse, same. Not an inventory to make one swell with pride. So what did you have for be a better person?
Well, okay, so the antidote to your book, better than before, mastering the habits of our everyday lives. I don't know how I ended up with it. I must have been preparing for 2019 back in 2018, and I've requested a few of these self-improvement books. But this one is by Gretchen Grubin. Bruno. Oh, my gosh.
New Year's resolution.
New Year.
Practice authors' names.
Yeah, well, rusty, aren't we? Gretchen Rubin, known for the Happiness Project. And so, yes, she wants us to improve our habits to make our day better. And I thought, well, yes, anything to help. But what I really liked about it is she starts working on trying to understand what motivates us. So it's either her or a friend was a professional athlete and later in life is struggling just to get out of bed to go for a run. You
like
know.
Maria Semple's.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yet for years of her life, she got up at, you know, 5 a.m. and, you know, ran and practiced her hurdles, I think it was, without a problem. So so Gretchen started thinking about what motivates people. And so she's come up with this framework because, you know, to change the way we do things, we've got to understand what motivates us. So she came up with this framework, and I really liked it. I think it's more far more useful than sort of Myers-Briggs sort of personality types. So there's the I think I might be the questioner. So I resist outer expectations, and inner expectations means more to me. It's more important to me. So I think
I'm that
very
kind of person
to read for the.
I think
start
that's
the
kind
year.
Of thing that a lot of women become as you continue your life. You know, you start out with the pressure of the other people's expectations, and then the older you get, the more you realize it's all about your own expectations.
Yeah,
I think maybe Gretchen Rubin, that we pronounce Gretchen Rubin. It could be because we're thinking girl. You know that famous G-R-R-R.
Yeah.
We're thinking girl. Go
that's
Gretchen.
Right. Yeah, Gretchen. Change yeah. your name, Gretchen.
So another thing they say about people getting older is they sometimes become less nice in the sense that they just say what they think. You must have heard that. You must have noticed it in me. So there's another New Year's resolution that people are always talking about. You know, this is the become a nicer person. I'm going to be a nicer person this year. And I've had this thought about, so, you know, I was thinking, what are books that we can bring in that would sustain you in your attempt to fulfill one of these resolutions? And I thought, well, maybe for become a nicer person, better than trying to find a book about a nice person, you could find a book about someone who isn't nice at all. It's usually more fun to read, and then you can just do the opposite of what this person does.
Yeah, the mirror. Looking in the mirror. Yeah. Oh, yuck.
Or you could possibly realize, however, you could possibly realize that you admire them and are attracted by them, in which case you might end up going for it. So I thought of, one person I thought of was Truman Capote, again, who got meaner as he got older, but that was a sort of a case of his self-loathing going so great that becoming so all-consuming that it poured into his work. So I highly recommend Truman Capote, a book called Conversations with Capote. Mm-hmm. It gives you quotes on all kinds of people that you can never again, famous people you can never again see in the same way. And then another book that I thought I might get into, which I haven't requested, but I thought I might, talking about mean people, is this the famous biography of Princess Margaret that's come out recently, The Ma'am Darling, 99 Glimpses of Princess Margaret.
Yes.
So, you know, I thought, well, why? I didn't request it when it first came out. Everyone was reading it because I thought, well, she's just a mean person. Why would I want to read about her? But then I realized you're not reading about Princess Margaret. You're reading how Craig Brown tells you about Princess Margaret. And, of course, Craig Brown can be mean, but in a very original and talented way, as compared to Princess Margaret, who was just mean. Hope I'm allowed to say that. So that's my other idea for become a nicer person. And
I just want to add in the line. I like this line that I often say to people. I feel we become caricatures of ourselves as we get older.
Yeah.
And So I guess that's what we're talking about here.
That's right. So have you got another resolution to tell us about?
Well, yes, I do, actually. I want to be more mindful this year about stressing less or not being stressed. I mean, there's so much pressure on us to do more and be super. So, and there's lots of books out there to help us. But I found one that, well, the title, Do Less, Be More. Ban busy and make space for what happens, for what matters, sorry. So I think that's perfect. And so there is the author who is Susan Pears and Martina Sheehan. I got their names right this time. They want us to, they tell us the compulsion to fill every moment with activities is a dangerous trap. That's true. And multitasking and working long hours has proven to lower productivity, drain our cognitive abilities, and even worse, lower our IQ. So thank you for pointing that out to us.
I think
we already knew that, though, didn't we, really? So it has chapters with simple exercises to help break bad habits of the bad habit of being so busy. And I like the to-do list, the chapter that heads the not to-do list. So that's going to be another read for me at the start of the year. But one of the books I really thought this is really useful. It's a book about not stressing about what we eat. And so it's Eat Up by Ruby Tando. And it is the antidote to to all the confusion around food these days, you know, eat organic, eat, there's so many fad diets, and it actually becomes quite confusing, and the enjoyment.
Stressful is the word you're looking for. It becomes very stressful.
Well, stressful, I guess we get anxious. Can I eat this? Is this good for the environment? Is this good for my body? do I have time to cook this? So it's a really good read for pointing out the enjoyment of food and what it's all about, and you know, just to loosen up a bit more about what we eat.
For that.
And of course, we get stressed about money during the year, don't we? I mean, it's just a reality. So Mary Holm, I just want to quickly mention Mary Holm's new book. She is described as the trusted expert on advice about money, New Zealand's expert. And she has a new book about how to save for retirement without stressing. It's called Rich Enough, and that's a question, by the way, not a statement. Rich Enough? A laid-back guide for every Kiwi. So that might be a good start of the year read for.
That could be, she could use some of the quotes from Vanity Fair about the idle rich, and so to inspire those of us who are not
the
rich, but also
the unhappy idle rich.
In Vanity Fair, they're unhappy. Well, they think they're happy, but actually, we'll see what happens by the end of the book. So anyway, that's funny, because so stress less leads right into one of the resolutions, which I do not make a lot of resolutions, but I do make one every year, which is get more sleep. Do you ever make that one?
Yes.
That's a pretty common one.
I've got to go to bed earlier.
Yeah. Got to go to bed earlier. So I thought, I've brought in a book to aid you in resolution to get more sleep. Oh. And it is A Treasure from the Basement.
Ooh. Ah.
Treasures from the Basement.
So I don't want to do any damage to the reputation of our treasures in the basement and imply that they're soniferous. What was the adjective for a book? Something that causes sleep? But there are a few goodies down there that are very helpful for reading in bed and easing you into a restful slumber. And I've picked one.
The books that help you nod off.
Yeah. So we have the Libro Cubicularis, the person who reads in bed, and then we'll sort of like a sonno Libro Sonambulist. No, that's walking, sleepwalking. Anyway, we might come up with that word next week.
During the course of the year.
People who read in bed to fall asleep. And this book is, so I've grabbed this collection of Henry James novellas called, appropriately perhaps, Termination. So Henry James, why did I pick Henry James? Why do you think, Lisa? I pick Henry James.
I'm just laughing at you. Carry on.
Henry James is that 19th century novelist who is famous, first of all, for having said that, well, in my book, for having said, summer afternoon are the most beautiful words in the English language.
Oh.
Isn't that good? Isn't that true?
Yeah.
That's so true. But he's also famous for his very long sentences, which somebody described as reading his books like climbing mountains of sand. So he's got these very baroque, very long sentences with lots of clauses and double adjectives. And it's thought that this was possibly because he dictated his books. And he had a mild stutter, so he had to speak very slowly and deliberately to the person taking dictation of his book. And he was also, interestingly, Hemingway's first wife, Hadley, was her favorite novelist, was Henry James. And I always wondered what that would mean to Hemingway, who was certainly a sort of an alpha male and definitely bound to be a jealous type. And he does have, there was a funny thing that he said about Henry James, which was, it's actually very sad. This is in his later life when he was suffering from depression. And he said, he was writing a letter to a friend, and he said, I'm just going to have to throw this away. So thinking about stress that we were talking about, he says, I'm just going to have to try to be calm like Henry James. And he says, like I said to you, do you know Henry, do you read Henry James? And then he says, he was a great writer who came to Venice and looked out the window and smoked his cigar and thought. So, yeah, because he actually said that he found Venice too distracting, Henry James said. He preferred Rye, the village Rye in England. This was a man who is thought remained a virgin his entire life. So here's a little, here's the first three or four sentences of chapter two of Terminations. I may as well say at once that this little record pretends in no degree to be a picture either of my introduction to Mr. Paraday or of certain proximate steps and stages. The scheme of my narrative allows no space for these things, and in any case, a prohibitory sentiment would be attached to my recollection of so rare an hour. These meager notes are essentially private, so that if they see the light, the insidious forces that, as my story itself shows, make it present for publicity will simply have overmastered my precautions. The curtain fell lately enough on the lamentable drama. Are you asleep?
Yeah.
Wake me up.
I found your introduction to that read far more interesting than the read itself.
Oh, so it was that's very, very nice. Thank you.
Wow, research there, Karen.
Bravo. So I need to get a new job as a person writing introductions to famous authors, to classic authors. Is that it?
Wow.
I'm leading us into get a new job.
Get a new job. Well, it's not my New Year's resolution.
Yes. Libraries, Auckland Libraries, but it is not Louisa's resolution to get a new job in 2019.
I have a great job here with you every week, Karen. But I know it is a resolution, a New Year's resolution for so many people. But really, I think what they really need to do before they start that job hunting is to sort out what job will make them happy, you know, otherwise, you end up going from one job to the next, never really feeling completely happy with them. So I have the book just for that. It's called The Payoff Principle by Alan Zimmerman, who helps us discover the three secrets for getting what you want out of life. So basically, when you know your purpose in life and combine it with your passions, then put it all together with a process, which is actually your skills, but he needed another P word, and bingo, you get payoff. And in it, he talks about the importance of continuing education, which I think made the book appeal to me because I'm a librarian. So so there you go. Before you just start seeking that job, perhaps discover what it is you really want out of life through the payoff principle.
There you go.
That's all I had to bring along for get a new job.
Well, when you've got
resolution.
The book that hits it on the mark. So it's interestingly, as I often say, what was the last thing you just said? You said something about, deciding what it is you really want. Wasn't that
yes.
it? Yeah. Yeah. So I had just really quickly grabbed, because I'm thinking another one that a lot of people make resolutions about. And this one actually is sort of my resolution, is a resolution of mine as well, which is about growing old well. People are now realizing as we live to be longer that it might take a little bit of commitment there.
Yeah. You know, I like people like you, so I don't do New Year's resolutions and then out it all comes. It's like, oh yeah. Okay, carry on.
Well, but so they're not New Year's resolutions. They're actually all year long resolutions. That's the difference.
That's
I never
the difference.
Put them into words in January. I just all year long I'm thinking, I hope I'm growing old well.
Continuing development.
Last year I actually finally read a book by Diana Athel, who's been recommended to me a number of times, not necessarily by people who think I'm not growing old well. So Diana Athel was she set up an English, she's a famous name in English publishing, in book publishing all around the world, but in particular, she had helped set up a publishing company and worked there for 40 years as one of the most respected book editors ever, including being V.S. Naipaul's editor, which must have been quite difficult. And she started writing books after the age of 50. They were all memoirs. And this one that I've just taken last year and read was called Alive, Alive-O, like Molly, who picks up the muscles. What's her name? Molly Malone. And she wrote it when she was 97. And she does have this really funny thing that I just wanted to share. And she says, looking at things is never time wasted. That's her wisdom that she, well, one of her pieces of wisdom in the book.
Oh,
isn't that great?
Yes. And it reminds me of my friend Esther Patton, who wrote Exciting 80. So I must actually catch up with Esther this year to see what she's up to. But I'm one of the lucky people who have, speaking of
exciting women telling you their wisdom.
Yeah, an aspiring woman. I'm one of the lucky people who, well, one of the thousands of lucky people who have Michelle Obama's Becoming book to read. I haven't started yet.
Well, thousands of people are waiting for it, and a few of them have it. 92 of them have it. Isn't that right?
I luckily got it as a Christmas gift.
And
it's sitting behind the, I've got to finish Zorbi first, and then I'm going to start Michelle. But I was, intrigued about the title Becoming, because actually it's been used before by quite a few women writing in their memoirs. The model Cindy Crawford also titled her book Becoming. So what Michelle said to Oprah in an interview with Oprah, she summed it up by saying, the title's about my journey. My journey is the journey of always continuing to evolve. So flicking through it, at the end of chapter 3, this story grabbed my attention. It was from her. It's from her childhood. She's about 10, and she's hanging out with some cousins on a summer's day. And one says to her, how come you talk like a white girl? And Michelle says she didn't think she did. So she writes, well, I guess because we, that's her and her brother Craig, we're not expected to just be smart, but be our, but to own our smartness, to inhabit it with pride, and this filtered down to how we spoke. Yet it could also be problematic. Speaking a certain way, the white way, as some would have it, was perceived to be a betrayal, as being uppity, as somehow denying our own culture. Years later, after I'd met and married my husband, Barack, I didn't need to say that, did I? A man who is light-skinned to some and dark-skinned to others, who speaks like an Ivy League-educated black Hawaiian raised by middle-class Kansas family, I'd seen the confusion play out on the national stage among whites and blacks alike. So she goes on to say that on reflection from this day, everyone seemed to fit in except me. I look back on the discomfort of that moment now and recognize the more universal challenge of squaring who you are with where you come from and where you want to go. I also realize that was a long way still from where from finding my own voice, is what she's saying. So it's going to be a really good, inspiring read, isn't it?
Oh, well, I am so proud. It is. You've already started it. It is inspiring.
I flicked.
Read.
I couldn't help it. I flicked through.
No, that's what I mean.
I can't wait to really, you know, give the time to it. Yeah.
Yeah. Look in. What was the Diana Athol? Time reading is never spent wasted. Time looking at into Michelle, what she has to say to you. I just had to take this along because I knew that you were going to do a book called Becoming. And there's actually a Becoming Virginia Woolf. So I might be starting a new meme here. I had my Salinger meme. Now I've got my Virginia Woolf meme. It's been going for a while. So Becoming Virginia Woolf is actually a really interesting book. It's about her 38 volumes of diaries. Virginia Woolf wrote 38 volumes of diaries. You're not looking surprised.
No, I'm just thinking Michelle's got a long way to go here.
Yeah, I was going to say,
take that,
Carl Uwe Knausgård. So it's written on the back cover. It says, a vital study, and then the little blurb was attributed to Cher. So I thought, oh, look, Cher's gotten into Virginia Woolf. But actually, it was a magazine called Choice when I looked at it more carefully. But anyway, she, in this book, she, you can follow her through from adolescence to, maturity. And she has a problem because one of her aunties looked at her first stories and called them ladylike, and she doesn't want to be ladylike. She wants to flame, which is kind of, you know, I mean, Michelle certainly flames, I would say.
That's true. Perhaps they've read each other's works. Not
yeah.
Like
but I mean, you know, the comments of aunties, I hadn't thought of this, but it actually bridges really well into the last resolution that I was going to bring to the table, which is actually not one of mine. Well, it has been mine in the past, but I've solved this one, which is the get along better with my family.
Oh, good one. Yeah.
Very good.
After all those Christmas gatherings.
Yeah, exactly. I think people are starting to think of them at the end of the year, and they're going, yeah. So I just wanted to recommend this fantastic, this is just a pure, great, pleasurable reading recommendation for everyone, young people, old people, men, women, rich, poor. And it's another classic, I Capture the Castle by Dodie Smith. Do you know, Dodie Smith is, you might recognize as the author of the 101 Dalmatians.
Oh!
But don't think of the Disney movie. So what you need to think about is Dodie Smith is way huger than the Walt Disney movie, which is still one of the very best movies ever made for children. But anyway, I Capture the Castle was also made into a movie by starring that actor who's the one actor whose name I never forget when we talk on air, who is Bill Nighy. He's the father. So the story of I Capture the Castle is this father, ambitious writer, who needs to get over his writer's block, and he takes a 40-year lease on a castle, on a medieval castle in England, and takes the family there to live while he becomes the writer that he's always wanted to be, which of course he doesn't happen. but it's narrated by the teenage daughter. It's absolutely just a fantastic read. So
is that the book that I confuse with another Bill Nighy movie where he...
The time traveling one. But I also confuse the book with the book We Have Always Lived in the Castle by Shirley Jackson, which is about poisoning members of the family. So in terms of your resolution. So how about a resolution, get along better with everyone? And in that could be a good sentiment with which to sign off, because we are getting near the end of the program. How about you and I? I think we're getting along pretty well. How are we doing?
Yeah, shall we continue this for another year? Let's see how we go.
Why not?
So I hope you've enjoyed our show today, everyone.
Thanks for
listening to you and sharing the half hour with you, Karen, and looking forward to more great shows during the course of the year.
Same here, Luisa. So, Happy New Year to everyone.
Yes.
And kakakitano. This program was brought to you by Auckland Libraries.
Find us online at aucklandlibraries.govt.nz
and catch the program next Sunday at 9:35 p.m.
on 104.6 FM
or anytime online at planetaudio.org.nz/books and beyond. Every day, every day, every day.